Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Still lots of hunting going on. You're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We have December 18th and 19th. Either sex deer seasons are going on in select DMZs around the state, and we'll continue in some right through the new year into January and February. South Zone and Coastal Zone duck and goose seasons are on. Now, in the Coastal Zone, you can get two Canadas. Elsewhere, it is just one Canada. Light and snow goose seasons continue. They're going to go on until February and a little bit of a break, and then the conservation order hits in. And rabbit and squirrel season still ongoing. But let's talk hunting by the numbers, as in ringnecks and bobwhites. The pheasant and quail stocking program resumes. Some numbers in our hot wildlife management, as we love to hunt these. They'll do better in some than the other. Some of these places, man, they are challenging. Kyers, this is for Tuesday the 21st and Thursday the 23rd. These are the numbers for ringnecks. Kyers Mills, 200 boat days. Howardsville, 50 boat days. Same with Manahawk and Medford, 80 boat days. The Forge, as in Stafford Forge, 160, 160. Dix, 130, 130. Nantungset, love that little place, 110, 110. Mad Horse, 90 and 90. Mad Horse down in Salem, that is a challenging hunt, I'll give you that. Port Republic right there off the parkway. Exit 48, 50 and 50. Tuckahoe, 110, 110. Millville, because of all those fields, it gets a lot of birds and still gets a lot of pressure. 340 and 340. And Winslow, 140 both days. For the bobwhites, Greenwood and Peasley, 400 each both days. Still a lot of hunting opportunities. Going to be another two or three stocks. It goes till December 30th. Hey, get your money's worth on that $40 quail and pheasant stamp. Coming up a little later in the program, we're talking to South Jersey. Striper bite is still going on. We'll have Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Sport Fishing Charters. But our next segment, Scott Bach, Executive Director of the New Jersey Association, rather, New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, with that crazy legislation going on in Trenton Assembly and the Senate. He will give us a lowdown on assaulting law-abiding firearms owners. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Hi, this is Michael Strahan. Your support of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital will make a real difference in the lives of children battling cancer and other life-threatening diseases. Because of your generosity, families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because all a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Give thanks for the healthy kids in your life and give to those who are not. Please donate now at stjude.org or give wherever you see the St. Jude logo.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
You know, last week we had on Assemblyman Parker Space, Republican, 24th District, up there on the spate of assembly bills that were being just strangling the Second Amendment, the law-abiding gun owner. Well, that was canceled. It was moved to the Senate. Again, that's where the phone calls, faxes, emails, whatever you want to call, and communication made a difference. So we had some good news, some bad news. The good news is that insidious safe storage bill that they backed off on, that, well, at least, you know, for now, we shall see. But I'll tell you, joining us online right now, give us a lowdown, is Scott Bach. He's the executive director of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, lawyer extraordinaire. He is the watchdog on this. Scott, thanks for joining us. He's also on the board of directors, National Rifle Association. Sorry, Scott, a lot of topics. Time is short. Glad to have you on very short notice. Scott, good news, bad news, or just not as bad news? What do you think? Go.
It's not as bad news. And by the way, it's great to be back. Listen, the dynamics are a little crazy about what's going on in Trenton right now. And let me first be clear. This is an attack on both gun owners and sportsmen. Okay. It impacts people who just own for personal protection or for collection, but it also impacts hunters. And listen, just huge picture. This is Murphy's swan song. You know, like, this is his last big push on gun control, you know, while he's in office. And it's right now it's falling on its face. But the most important takeaway from all of this is there's not one bill in his package that he's trying to move here that would make anybody safer. There's not one bill that punishes gun crime or gun criminals. It's all about punishing law-abiding gun owners and the Second Amendment. Every single proposal in there is about infringing on gun owner rights, law-abiding citizen rights. Nothing impacts criminals. So what's going on big picture is so there's this big package of bills. It includes everything from a 50 caliber ban, which is not just the 50 BMG. It impacts flintlocks, muzzleloaders, hunting guns. Okay, ammunition registration, micro stamping, which is basically a gun ban. If your gun doesn't, you can't own a gun that doesn't possess this technology. And what the technology does is it encodes the firearm serial number on every piece of ammunition that's fired. Okay, on the primer cup. So, renewal firearms ID cards that expire every 4 years. And you have to reapply. There's people sometimes waiting for over a year just to get new credentials.
Right.
So mandatory training. Now, nobody is against training. Okay, training is a good thing. But the proper way to do it is to incentivize it, not mandate it as a condition of exercising a constitutional right. So, and then, of course, there's the infamous firearms so-called safe storage bill, which is really just a way banning the Second Amendment inside your home, interfering with the direct right protected in the Heller case, the U.S. Supreme Court Heller case, which is the right to use a firearm or have a firearm for personal protection in the home, is gutted by this bill. And you know, one of the reasons why I want to spend a minute on it is it's one of the bills that had legs.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that it originally said in its original form is you got to keep your firearm locked up, unloaded, with the ammunition locked in a separate case. So imagine this. It's 3 in the morning. Okay, you hear glass break. Okay, you know, somebody's breaking into your window. Okay, you have to now first get to your firearm, unlock, you know, punch in a code to unlock the safe. You then have to get to your second lockbox, punch in another code or dial in another code to access your ammunition. You first have to load your firearm or load your, you know, the revolver or magazine. You have to insert the magazine. You have to rack the slide. Okay. By the time you're able to deploy your firearm, okay, you're lucky if you're still alive. Okay. The bill was absolutely insane and burdens the core right protected by the Heller case, which is the right to have firearms in the home for personal protection, okay? And you cannot believe the legislative hearing on this. You know, the parade of anti-gun lawmakers who just talk about this as the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the sponsor of the bill who just, you know, was grilled by some of the Republicans on one of the legislative committees and just was like, well, you know, we think if it saves just one life.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. You know, we're worried about, you know, like, you know, this particular person. Well, my bill sponsor. Well, my father was a police officer, and he didn't. You know, this is how he stored his guns and ammunition, and he didn't have a need. So why does anybody else? I mean, the ignorance was legion. But okay, so big picture, Tom. Here's what's happening. There were two bills. Okay, the assembly is kind of like the crazy house. Legislature. Anything goes. They rammed everything through committee. It didn't matter what the substance of the bills was. They just decided we're doing this. They jammed everything through. In the Senate, there were only two of the bills posted. Okay, so in other words, that whole package has not been posted in the Senate. Okay, only two bills were originally posted, the firearms storage bill and a firearms registration bill for new residents of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And after gun owners, hunters, and sportsmen got through weighing in by the tens of thousands with legislators on safe storage, it was pulled from the agenda just a couple of days ago in the Senate. So there's only one bill as of now. Things can change. The situation's fluid.
Right.
But as of now, there's only one bill moving through the Senate, and that's a registration bill for non-residents. It has been amended significantly in its original form. It created a crazy double standard between what existing residents have to do with their firearms versus new residents to the state. Now it's been made less bad, less crazy. It's still a bill we oppose.
Absolutely.
But it's, you know, one of them directly interferes with the Second Amendment, and that one, as of now, appears off the table, and that is thanks to the efforts of tens of thousands of sportsmen. So what we're looking at as of this moment, okay, on Monday in the Assembly, the full package is being rammed through the full Assembly. It's very likely to pass the full Assembly. But so far, there's only one gun bill moving through the Senate. That means as of this moment, it looks like only one gun bill is going to move to the governor's desk, which, if that happens, you know, should be pretty embarrassing to our governor. You know, this is his, quote, gun safety package. Okay. And again, it's really, I mean, it's just mind-boggling how this bill package is so targeted at honest people and just ignores gun criminals and gun crime. There's no punitive measures for gun criminals. It's all about your rights. It's all about the rights of law-abiding people and regulating them and putting them in a box and you know, collapsing the walls around that box.
Scott, you're getting me. We're speaking
you
with Scott
Bach.
We're speaking with Scott Bach, Executive Director, Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, also sits on the board, National Rifle Association. Topic is the gun bills in the Assembly, Senate, what have you. My mind's swimming here, Scott. But one question here, again, creatures of like Lou Greenwald, I mean, South Jersey, vehement anti-gun, anti-gun ownership, everything. I mean, and Murphy, knowing him as I do, a very vindictive person, wants to exact his 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds of flesh, you know, even though it was a close election. He's just anti-sportsman, anti-gun. We know that. And even though he says, oh, this isn't about the Second Amendment, folks. This isn't about them. Yes, it is. Scott, do you notice the tenor of protecting the criminal's rights here instead of the rights of the law-abiding gun owner, the homeowner who wants to protect himself and his family? I mean, that just nauseates me. It's so obvious.
There's nothing in the bill package that, quote, protects criminals. But if you look at the rhetoric, you know, that's going on, not just in New Jersey, but also nationally, there is this weird movement toward ignoring criminal behavior, calling it something else, you know, mostly peaceful protests, you know, mostly peaceful arson. So the target, listen, the big picture is becoming clearer and clearer every day. Okay, this isn't about safety. This is about extinguishing the right of honest people to have firearms. And I mean, and you know, people used to look at me when I was crazy when I used to say that years ago. But if you look at what's going on in the world, it's clear that that is the path for lawlessness is being greased really well.
Scott, let me interrupt you a second, counselor. You said this years ago on Rack and Fin Radio. I remember that saying, and I was, you know, the guy's right. I mean, you're just following the progression. And here it is, come home to roost.
It's just more evident now. That's the only thing. I mean, it's clear that there are forces trying to destabilize our society in general. How do you do that? You increase lawlessness, you attack law enforcement, you cut back on law enforcement.
And here it is.
Okay.
Yep.
And here it is. And this bill is just, listen, the approach in New Jersey to banning guns hasn't really changed, but the motivations are more clear. Murphy gets out there, he talks about gun safety. This has nothing to do with gun safety, okay? Forcing you, micromanaging how people store firearms in their home, okay, for deployment in an emergency is not a one-size-fits-all thing. There is a laudable goal in there somewhere if you look hard enough, and that is, listen, the approach to safe storage should be, if it's really about safe storage, it should be about recognizing that one solution doesn't fit, you know, the 100-acre farm owner in Sussex County with the apartment, you know, the single-mom apartment dweller in Camden.
Right.
What you need is a general principle. And the general principle should be, listen, if you're a firearms owner, that's a serious responsibility. We task you to ensure that unauthorized persons do not get access to your firearms. You figure out the solution, and then penalize it if you do, if you're careless, and if unauthorized persons, you know, aren't restricted from getting at your firearms. You know, we wouldn't argue with that. Nobody argues with that. But when you say, oh, we need to keep our firearms safe, so take your gun, basically put it in a cement vault, okay, except when you're at the target range, okay, is just absurd. Okay, and thank goodness we have the Heller case, which, I mean, listen, a lot of legislators are scratching their heads when we pointed this out. They're like, what are we doing here? But, you know, it's the party line. Mm-hmm. You know, we do what we're told by leadership. Exactly. And it's, listen, it's crazy. Okay, it's really crazy. You've got all these proposals. I'm just telling you, at the bottom line of all of it, it's about restricting. It's about making firearms less available, less deployable, less usable, to gradually erode and eradicate
exactly
private
right.
firearms ownership, mm-hmm. I think, for much larger nefarious purposes. It fits. It's a smaller piece in a much larger puzzle, and that puzzle is becoming more evident to those with eyes to see it right now.
Exactly right. Scott Bock, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. Scott's the Executive Director of Association of Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, sits on the board of National Rifle Association and Counselor at Law. Scott, thanks much. Hope to have you on Rack and Fin Radio again. We'll keep up with you on this, okay, brother?
Absolutely. Thanks.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you and your listeners.
See you, brother. Bye.
Bye.
Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
With GMF approval, excludes Corvette.
$10,000 minimum for your trade towards any pre-owned in stock. Bennett Chevy will pay you $10,000 for your vehicle, no matter its condition or miles. This is our very best offer of the year. No games, no gimmicks, just $10,000 minimum for your trade this month. Plus, Bennett selling new vehicles at MSRP, not one penny more. Stuck in a lease? We can get you out early. Every make, every model. There's absolutely no obligation and no pressure. Because our non-commissioned sales staff is paid on your satisfaction, not how much you spend. Let's recap. Bennett selling new vehicles at MSRP, not 1 cent over. Looking for pre-owned? Bennett's giving you a minimum 10 grand for yours. That's a minimum $10,000 for junk. You can only imagine how much more we'll pay for a good quality trade. And there's absolutely no obligation and no sales pressure. With our non-commissioned sales staff paid on your satisfaction, not how much you spend. Find new roads at Bennett Chevy, Egg Harbor Township and BennettChevy.com.
I'm Serena Williams. You watch me live on TV.
And I'm that voice from movies you watch on demand. DirecTV Stream brought us together to save the world.
Maybe not save the world, but DirecTV Stream does bring your live and on-demand favorites together.
Your favorites together.
I just said that.
She just said that.
Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on-demand with no annual contract. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com.
Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
Who brought the sauce?
I brought the sauce.
Who made the sauce?
I made the sauce.
What's in the sauce?
I am the sauce.
Who brought the sauce?
Spilled the sauce? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand.
Who brought the sauce?
I brought the sauce.
Who made the sauce?
I made the sauce.
What's in the sauce?
I am the sauce.
Who brought the sauce? Okay.
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 18th and 19th. Hey, man, old news is still good news. We're talking about the striped bass bite that is going on off the South Jersey coast, and also still some activity in the back. All the way down, we're hearing reports from up as far as Barnegat Inlet. A little bit north, even Island Beach State Park, clear on down through Stone Harbor Wild with Joe on the line right now. He's on just a couple of weeks ago, but he is talk about hands, rod tips, whatever, on the pulse of the striper bite. Is return visit Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters there, based in Absecon, sent me some photos of Tom P. I haven't seen striper fishing like this late in the year. in years. He's going to give us a little history on that and his opinion. What has happened? How long might this bite last? People, it's torrid. Okay, picky here, picky there. You're on him, man. You're on him. Whether you're trolling out front or dropping some little plugs in the back, bucktails in the back, shads in the back, the bass are still here, man, and they are like Tom P at an Italian bakery. Hi, Scott. Sorry I get too excited. How you doing, Captain?
Yo, Tom P. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, Scott. I talked to you the other night, and you were you. Listen, Scott's he's pretty even keel, pun intended. When it comes to fishing, okay, it's here, it's there, it's good, it's not. He is excited about this bite, Scott. I had to tell you your enthusiasm, man. You were bouncing off walls, bro. Tell us about this bite. It's been what, Scott? I remember maybe 7 or 8 years ago. You're saying as recently as 5 years. You haven't seen it this intense this late in the year.
Well, you gotta love our the modern technology of our phones, because you get the pictures that pop up.
Five years ago
on this day, and it shows you a picture of what you were doing 5 years ago. Well, guess what? I've gotten other pictures of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and guess what? There's not a South Jersey ocean striped bass bite inside the line 1, 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Right.
It was 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. We had those incredible bites, and then we lost them. There were fish passing by, but they were passing by anywhere from 4 to 12 miles.
Right. Scott, what do you think? I mean, there's plenty of bait coming down out here. Sand eels are popping up. Still plenty of bunker around, rainfish, whatever. It's crazy, Scott. I mean, I'm seeing, you know me, Scott, I travel the coast up and down. I'm up and down, up and down. And I'm seeing just good to excellent fishing pretty much everywhere.
Well, you said it, Tom. We're blessed right now. When we spoke a couple weeks ago, we were on about day 3. Of a strong South Jersey inside the line bite.
Right.
You know what I mean by that? Not cat and mouse, yeah, outlaw bite. Inside the line, like everybody is out there enjoying it. So I was like day 3. So we were saying, well, what's it going to do? What's it going to do? And sure enough, it's holding up. This is our Christmas gift come early, my friend. And yes, the bait is inside. It's up against the beaches out to two and a half, 3 miles. And there are bass from the beaches, just off the beaches. I said,
right.
Hey, sorry, surfcasters. It's hit or miss on the surf casting.
It is. But there's still some good hits there. Sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
No. But I'm pumped up. You got me going.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a boat captain's paradise right now in South Jersey. And we're talking from Cape May. Up to Brigantine, LBI, all the areas of South Jersey, Cape May County, Atlantic County, it's hitting, it's happening, and it's holding up. We've had 50-mile-an-hour wind days. It kicked, for instance, last Saturday, right? It was a blowout, right? So all my buddies and I, all the charter captains, I know, is it going to move them? Is it going to send them packing? Is this it? Guess what? It didn't, and there's been a couple of those weather events. And they're sticking around. They are holding tight, and there's still fish all the way up to New York State.
Right.
And the rare day, and they're coming on the heels of these bass. This is setting up to be our best year, and like I said, at least 5.
Scott, I had news last night, a blow-up going on, Allenhurst, Asbury Park area, Long Branch, Elberon, and those fish are moving down. Scotty, do you see it going into, now, listeners in the back, you know, it closes December 31st, going back here and for looking for bass in the back, and no, after that until March 1st of 2022. Scott, I see this going into the new year, do you not?
It certainly has potential, yes. I would predict that we have a bass bite in South Jersey into the new year, yes. Actually, for that matter, it could be the whole state. But the bigger bass on the front end, and right now South Jersey is enjoying mixed size school, so you can get anywhere from a 20-inch fish on the troll to a 45-pounder. It's really fun. You don't know what's going to take the line.
Scott, in your experience, Tom P., just a psycho. I don't know. Why do you think this is happening now? No complaints on this end. People, I'm sort of getting messed up. Okay, you still got some deer hunting going on. You got duck hunting going on. Small game going on. Whatever. And a pickerel bite is furious. And then we got the stripers. Damn. What do you think, Scott? What is it?
You're right. The deer hunters, the guys I know who love those 8-pointers, they're torn at the heart right now.
Oh yeah,
I gotta get my buck. I gotta get my buck. Like, dude, there's 40-pounders right here.
That's right. Too much fun.
So,
man.
Why do I think? Well, You alluded to it a moment ago. You have the bait. So there is bunker. There is herring close to the beach. So that's a major draw. You also have very moderate water temperatures. They're not too cold yet. And they haven't dropped precipitously. And what I mean by that is it didn't go. It's not going from 52 degrees to 45 in a week. It's my observations in the past have been when you get like a 5, 6, 7 degree drop and it happens over a 10-day period, those fish ferry much, much quicker. When you have a slow, very gradual drop in water temperature, they hang around a lot longer. So you have that factor. And then you have when's the next new? You have the new and the full moon, and that is a big determiner when they migrate. But you have so many fish coming from the north that are in a more gradual fashion.
Right.
That even when they do push south, there's more fish coming behind
in.
Them.
Again, listeners, it seems that right now this is the epitome of nature abhors a vacuum. Bass are moving out. More bass are moving in. Scott, now we have the full moon. What, Friday night, Saturday night? We have the full moon now. How does that augur for the fish? I mean, they're still going to eat, no? I mean, I know the full moon, it gets tough fishing conditions, water, especially in clear water, to bass feeding out and down, whatever. But what do you think?
I don't think it'll affect the bite one little bit. If anything, if it affects anything, is if you're jigging, you might have to drop a heavier Ava jig because your boat's going to drift faster. If you're trolling, it might affect the current going one way or the other. But I've, over the years, I make a point to notice when the new or the full moon, the day of, and the fish eat. They eat. It does not stop the bass from eating. No way.
Listen, this is the old news. It's still good news. Segment of Rack and Fin Radio. And the topic is the striper bite that, again, it's going to end. We realize that, but Tom P. gets too excited. I'm 5 years old at heart. This is going to go into the new year. If the stars align, cards, player cards, that should go in into the new year. Scott, now, trolling, again, the jigging. I know some guys getting them from the surf on the plugs. Plenty of bait moving down. By the way, Scott, talk to some guys, again, up in that Allenhurst, Asbury area that were trolling tubes, okay, on their umbrella rigs. Tom P., they're spitting up sand eels. Guys sent me photos, you know, they have, so the sand eels are coming down as well. That's eating, that's adding even more fuel to the fire, correct?
Correct. So you can literally have the bunker schools and the sand eel schools in the same acreage of water, I guess you could say. And so if the bunker bite is off or it dissipates and you're no longer getting them on the bunker imitations, you're trolling spoons on wire, your mojos, your giant shads, your any kind of casting that falls apart throughout the outing, now you might want to target your sand eel bite. Now, it's a smaller fish. You're going to get more of the throwbacks to fish in the mid-30s in the sand eel. But this is very important to the listeners who are learning their sounders. You got to learn what you're looking at on your depth finder. Bunker, big pods of bunker look entirely different than sand eels, which are usually little dot, 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 and they're also higher in the water column. They might be right below the surface, and your bunker come anywhere from the top to the bottom. What's really cool is when you start deciphering the actual striped bass eating the bait, and you see it on your sounder, you can see the blip of the striper, the mark,
right?
And it's right behind bait. And you're sitting there saying, all right, here, the rods are going to go off. The rods are going to go off. It's so cool. So you got to learn those sort of nuances. And then you get better, and then you can decide what you're going to put out in the water.
Captain Scott, we're up against a hard break. Can you hang in for one more quick segment, please?
Oh, absolutely.
Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters. Hey, people, old news is good news. Get out for those bass, because this is 1 year with some high class. It's going to go into 2022. Grab that cup, grab that rib. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. A federal appeals court overturned a lower court's ruling and reinstated President Biden's vaccine mandate for companies with 100 employees or more.
Judge Jane Strange ruling, the mandate falls under OSHA's congressionally approved authorities to ensure workplace safety. Opponents say the policy is a backdoor effort to force the population to get vaccinated. And multiple emergency petitions have already been filed at the Supreme Court. In Washington, Sean Lanchel, Fox News.
Some heartbroken tourists in New York City last night after the Radio City Rockettes announced they're ending their season early.
This is our senior trip. We flew up here from Georgia.
We came from Virginia, so it's a long ride.
It's just a long way to come to be disappointed.
The World Health Organization reports the Omicron variant of COVID is now in 89 countries. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Today, a little rain in the morning, otherwise cloudy and cooler. High 51. Tonight, occasional rain and drizzle, low 40. Tomorrow, breezy with decreasing clouds, high 46. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies and cold, low 25. And Monday, plenty of sun, high 42. I'm AccuWeather's Alexa Weisberg on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 18th and 19th. Captain Scott Newhall, timeout charters. We're talking
the prolonged striper bite that is happening along the South Jersey and also going north into Central Jersey. In fact, as Scott said, Skipper Scott had time to roll away up from Raritan Bay still. But Scott, what I want to get into you now, back to the Sandals for a second, a little bit of a non sequitur. And a shout out to Captain to the Slam Rick Saloon up there on out of, he's out of, I think, Forked River. He had bluefin, Scott, the week before last. I think it was maybe Monday or Sunday, whatever. Had the video all around the boat. Scott, big fish. And he was only a few miles out. And they couldn't get him the bite, couldn't figure out what it was. He got it close. The fish were right there. Scott, little sand eels, maybe pinky length. And they had nothing on the boat to match that. He said Tom P had to see it. You know, you really can't see everything too clear on a video. Tuna all over the place on the sand eels. Man, everything likes those little buggers.
You got that right. Those bluefin, they torture you. You sit there and look at them. They're jumping out of the water all around. Right. I've actually taken out the heavy gear with me for striper trips at internationals, heavy spinning reels, the Penn Slammer 6500 loaded up with braid ready to cast, having a plug on there. We're talking about it's a good segue here. I mean, we're talking about the this epic South Jersey straight bass bite. However, the entire state of New Jersey, these bluefin could pop up anywhere, and they have been. The Central Jersey has been kind of more of their epicenter.
Right.
And the bluefin fishery is starting to turn into one that's around half the year. I mean, wow, they get up here, they get going in late June, and we're Christmas time.
Yeah.
Bluefin tuna.
Right. And Scott, well, actually, the giant bite started in mid-April, and they shut it down May 11th because that many were being caught. But it seems Manasquan, Shark River area in there, Scott, anywhere from half mile to a couple of miles off the beach. Like you said, that is the epicenter for the bluefin. But let's get back to the bass, Scotty. Tactics now. I want to touch in the back because we still have a few days. We have, let's see, a week. We have 13 days left to fish them in the back, in the inlets, and in the back bays. But out front, Scott, trolling your modus operandi primary, and what's your backup? Go.
Okay, so the first thing is, you want to find the fish. You're on the water. Do not put gear in the water. Keep moving till you find your marking, either stripers, and if you're not marking them, you're seeing the birds go down on the bunker or the sand eels. Find something worthy of deploying your gear. When you get there, then you 100% lock and load are your umbrella rigs. I use them from Blue Water Candy Lures, Niners, whatever company you choose. They will work. Those umbrella rigs are deadly. They're more cumbersome, so a lot of guys don't want to use them, and I totally get that. Your mojos, if you are in a bunker situation, mojos are primarily to imitate your bunker and your hurry. Mm-hmm. So the mojos, if you're in a bunker bait situation, and then you were mentioning the sand eels, and the sand eels are your umbrella rigs but with the little sand eel.
The tubes.
Imitation.
Tubes or sand eel imitation. I was just going to ask you, Scott, shads or tubes, again, predicated on the forage that's below with the stripers are chasing. But, Scott, on the shads, on the tubes, colors seem to make a difference because I've been on boats where they wouldn't, for example, red tubes, wouldn't touch them. It was all green tubes or black tubes, vice versa. Shads, white, bang, chartreuse, nothing, and then vice versa. It's just be willing to change, correct?
Yeah, you have to be willing to change. I always have white. White is right. Green.
Oh, can you say that?
Oh, jeez. Talking about fishing here.
Okay.
And, you always have to be ready with the white. You have to be ready with the chartreuse, the green. It's funny. A lot of the shads, and they come from major, major manufacturers, and they almost have like a yellow look to them, but they're chartreuse. They tear them up. Some of these other companies, they make all kinds of tiger stripes and
right.
the pearl colors. They all work, honestly. I haven't been out there where something's just not getting hit. But interestingly enough, it's a curious observation is, let's just say you're trawling four rods and you have four different colors out there, and you catch 10 in a row, and they're on the same rod every time. Is it where the rod is? Is it the water column? Is it what is it? But you notice it. Well, then change to that color, whatever it may be. It has happened mm-hmm. before. I mean, I have seen that take place. Also, after you get your fish for your Christmas Eve dinner or Christmas dinner. Yes, we are talking fresh striped bass for the holidays. So after you get your meat on the troll, because you might want to make sure you get it, then you can play around jigging. The jigging bite's fantastic. Your Dennis Braid lures, your Ava jigs. Just make sure you get them down the bottom. You know, you jig up, right. Let it flutter down. They grab it on the fall. Flutter spoons have become a monster throughout New Jersey. Everybody's loving the flutter spoons. So you have that, and have a surface plug rigged up, some kind of popper. So it's a lot of fun. You don't have to stay on that troll right now because these fish are coming up and down, and they are schooled up enough where the jig bite's there. One thing I'm not a fan of, and well, let me throw this at you. I got some vicious tendonitis in both elbows from jigging, but trying to force the jig, or force an application, say a plug application or a jig application, when the fish are spread out, it's not my thing. That's when you make sure you're on the troll. So if you get into fish that are tight, by all means, enjoy plugging, enjoy jigging. It's when they spread out. You definitely want to make sure you go on the troll. You'll catch 20 fish, a 20 to 2 or 3 ratio doing that. What? I guess some people hate trolling. I personally like catching fish,
right.
But I want to catch. So, I'm not going to sit there and try to do something in vain. After, 10 a.m., sometimes this stuff can break up and the fish will spread out for a little while.
There you go, right.
Pull back up.
Scott, let me ask you this question. We're speaking to Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters, based there in Absecon. One thing we didn't mention, Scott, well, one stupid question, but no question is stupid. Well, yeah, it's the Tom P's asking it. Shads or tubes, different speeds for either bait on the troll?
No, but it's interesting. You have more drag from the shads. You're going
right.
to have more, mm-hmm. When we start talking about physics here, you're going to see your rod buckle more. You don't want to use really lightweight rods and reels. You want a nice drag capacity. I use the Pen Fathom 30s, and I'm on a Pen Rampage rod.
There's
a umbrella rig.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, they put a lot of drag. Now you add a bass to it, and when you're using umbrella rigs, once in a while, there's things that might catch a hook in the dorsal by accident, and so things aren't coming up as perfect as you may want them to. So he's kind of going sideways like a mahi mahi.
Right.
And what is up? I got a hook in my mouth. Now I got one in my fin.
And then what, Scott? I've seen double headers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
You want stout gear for this. And mm-hmm. I I, when you get into this when you're younger and the first time, you might try this, you might try that, and you find out real quick that you might lose a whole umbrella if you're trying to go out there with too light a braid. And by the way, I would suggest 50-pound braid, 65-pound braid. I use the Berkley X9, and I also have rods with the Spiderwire blue camo. But,
right.
You know, whatever your favorite braid is, I just don't go light on it. You have a lot going on out there between the drag of the umbrella rig. And then, like you said, 2 weeks ago I had 3 bass on 10 times. So on one umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Kevin's got one thing we neglected to mention. I don't know if there's still a player in the game. I know some guys use them from sizes 1 to 4. Bunker spoons players now, as much as the shads or as much as the tubes?
Yes, they are. The number 4 bunker spoons, I use the Majas. They work for me. That's a go-to. If the bite is a slower bite, I use 2 spoons out on the wings out of the outriders, and then I run an umbrella or 2 down the middle,
mm-hmm,
off of a heavy drail. I mean heavy, like anywhere from a 10 to 16 ounce drail. So I want my 2 rods going down the middle, my 2 presentations, my offerings down the middle. I want them deep and closer to the boat because, mm-hmm, the spoons are out on wire and they're just a ton of line out there, and I let those out. Let's just say I'm 2 miles out, for example. So in South Jersey, 2 miles out is about 45 feet of water. And I'm going to have about 300 feet of wire out there. So I want my gear, whether it's the mojos or the umbrellas that I'm running down the middle, I want them nowhere near that wire. And I've gotten very dialed in to keeping them apart. When I hook up, and this is perfect, I'm glad we're talking about this. When I hook up, I do not go neutral. I keep it in gear on the lowest setting, just above neutral. So what that does, it keeps all the other lines out there, and your boat's not going crooked, and you're not getting all the slack, because the slack and wire, well, that can ruin your wire. Everything can fall to the bottom, get foul hooked and snagged. That's where the tangles come. So just go not neutral, just above neutral, and get to work on the fish, and everything else will stay. It's all paid out, staying where it belongs out there. And the other thing is, you might get multiple hookups.
There you go. Well, Scott, let's transition now to the back. We're speaking Captain Scott Newhall, timeout Charles. The back is still a viable place for striper, Scott. I saw one caught the other day. In fact, it was Wednesday. No, I'm sorry, it was Thursday. 28, almost 29 inches on a shout out to Tsunami again, one of the little bunker pattern shads right there, right by Barnegat inside the inlet. Scott, keeper bass, got a nice photo and a whole bit, but there are still bass in the back. If you're going to fish them, Scott, your approach?
Approach would be my approach. The Scott Newhall approach would be a live spot.
Oh, if you can get them.
I mean, isn't Dave down there? He's like the best babysitter of spots in the history of the earth. I think he reads those spots, nursery rhymes and Christmas stories at night to pump them up. I mean, hey, hats off to any tackle shop that's carrying live spots, because if they have, let's just say they get a 50 miler with them, you have a power edge, they got to run generators and everything else. It's no joke for those guys. They have a big investment in their live bait, and if power goes out in the middle of the night and they don't go get everything going, they'll lose all their bait. I think I do think customers forget that it's not just an initial overhead. I mean, I'm using the verb babysit, but they do have to babysit them.
Exactly.
I would take a live spot. I would look for structure, drift it along a side bag, or on a falling tide. You would have these inlets have rips, no doubt. You're talking about, you mentioned Barnegat. Barnegat Inlet is prime time if you're willing to go out to the end of the jetty.
Mm-hmm.
Rocks extend out. You'll always see boats there, and there's a reason they catch right there. So they're right where the inlet meets the ocean. That is as good a spot as you'll find for. It's not Back Bay, but it's kind of. It's like
right.
Not ocean. What do we call that? We call that inlet. So that's as good as it gets.
Scotty, ditto, if I can interrupt for a second, down there, Sea Isle Avalon. But there's some, we caught some nice fish down that way as well. And inside Corson's Inlet, back under the Rush Chatton Bridge this time of year. So they're still down here, man.
Bridges, phenomenal and often overlooked spots. And generally speaking, every town and every inlet have bridges. South Jersey is loaded with bridges because all the tourists coming in all summer long. But the bass hang on the lee side of the icebreakers and the big concrete pillars. Thank you for bringing up bridges. That's a year-round spot. 12 months of the year, you can find striped bass on bridges. And then at night, some of these bridges have lights. And guys get real territorial. They don't like to talk about it. But there's lights up. Only bass at night, and they're hanging right outside the brightness of the light shining on the water. And they're, if you throw any kind of small presentation, like a DOA shrimp or something like that, good night. Lights out.
Exactly. Pun intended. Scott, listen, before I let you go, we're up against a hard break here. Your opinion, Scott, again, you've been on the water a long, young guy, listeners will compare to me. Again, I taught Jesus how to cast net. But, Scott, on the overall, your opinion, the striper numbers seem to have, maybe because they're in close, maybe they've always been like that the past years, seem to have exploded. The conservation efforts, someone's saying, you know, Tom P., maybe it's the new regulations. That's only one, it hasn't even been affected a full year yet. The numbers seem to be just burgeoning, Scott. Your opinion on that is a phenomenal thing. Does it look to grow in the future? What's your deal?
The new limits where in New Jersey you can only keep 128 to 38, you know, minus a bonus tag, are going to have terrific results long term. But you just said it. I think they can't do it in 1 year. So now you have to hearken back to, well, look at these numbers. We have fish from the Chesapeake Bay all the way up to Long Island still. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're catching big cows in the Chesapeake that were out in front of the run. I don't think – this is just opinion here. And everybody – opinions are right.
We got one.
I don't think the sky was ever falling. Maybe we're not at the peak we were 10, 15 years ago, the 2000s. We're not there, but we're also not in my opinion, like, oh my gosh, there's going to be no more stripers in a panic situation. Cause you meet people that talk that way. And they, often those folks are ones that where the migration has shifted. For example, it's unfortunate that the Delaware Bay, the chunk bite's not what it was. However, the ocean bite, where you go right out of Cape May, is off the hook incredible.
Exactly.
So,
right.
So things biologically and nature change, and there's winners and losers in that. So if you're on the losing side of that, you're like, man, they must be crashing. If you're on the winning side, you might be saying
it's never been better. Right. Exactly.
Right. So I'm kind of a moderate on the striped bass population, but with the limits in place with one fish per person, so many people are trolling them, which trolling the mortality rates next to nothing. You have rules in place that are going to, they're promoting, less gut hooks.
We're at the circle hook mandate. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think the effort would be more in what would really help the strippers the most is if you're really, really into it, is that the one thing that destroys fisheries are those giant nets that they circle them up, or, you know, you got some crazy stuff that goes on in North Carolina with guys.
Yeah.
You're taking gill nets off the beach and everything that swims by gets killed. If you eliminate those sort of things that kill all the cows, and in the Chesapeake, they have hidden nets underwater, and the conservation officer's got to do some real cloak and dagger hunting for these guys.
Sure.
If you get those things out of the system, because nets kill everything. I mean, we get a choice. And I'm not saying, and I don't want to be preachy like recreational fishermen haven't done their damage. I mean, we're stakeholders, and, you know, we certainly have killed our share with snag trebles over the years, but we're getting better as a group with that. But if you could take like a high grading situation out of play where, you know, you have these boats off North Carolina, they net their quota of fish and they're 20 pounders, but then they run into a school of 40 pounders. So they dump the 20 pounders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you can get rid of those kind of acts, and I don't mean rules with loopholes, but really, really eliminate that kind of wasteful fishing, greedy fishing. If you get rid of that and those fish get to spawn as they're supposed to.
Bingo.
I mean, really, Tom, this fishery is sound and safe. I mean, it's really, really going to go. I can't see a crash. Things are good, and they could become even better.
Well said. Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters. Give that website and phone number, please.
TimeoutFishingCharters.com and 609-385-3729.
Captain Scott, before I let you go, I have lovely Melissa and the boys, Michael Benjamin and Alexander Scott Newhall.
They're pumped up for Christmas there, kids.
There you go. Scott, you take care, man. See you on the water, brother.
Thank you, Tom P. Take care. Thank you.
Long Night Segment. Be right back. Rag and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Absecon Veterinary Hospital on New Road in Absecon is always looking out for your family's health and the health of your pets. Here's a pet health tip from the staff at Absecon Vet.
Hi, this is Dr. Rachel Scotland, and I would like to talk to you about feline urethral obstruction, also known as blocked cats. This condition occurs in male cats when they are unable to urinate due to a buildup of crystals, mucus, and spasms. When cats can't urinate, they lose the ability to get rid of the toxins in their body, which quickly makes them very sick and can be fatal. If you notice your male cat in and out of the litter box, crying or vomiting, it is time to get him to your veterinarian immediately. There are treatments available for this condition, but time is of the essence.
Absecon Vet is open every day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. To schedule a wellness checkup for your pet, call 609-646-7013 or check out all that Absecon Veterinary Hospital has to offer your pet at absecanvet.com. That's absecanvet.com.
You're always up for some fun with the family, so you order the essentials, a new board game, some baking supplies, and even a new projector for outdoor movie night. And with the Bank of America Customized Cash Rewards credit card, you can choose to earn 3% cash back on online shopping, which could increase to up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member. Rewards which you can put toward an extra treat that everyone will enjoy, like an old-fashioned popcorn machine. Visit bankofamerica.com/more rewarding and apply now. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
You know when you order a new video game, or a golf club, or a blender, and then it arrives at your door, you get a little thrill. Imagine how much more thrilling it is when you order a new car. With Nissan at Home, you can shop for the perfect ride and order it without ever having to go anywhere. Sure beats a golf club or a blender. Buy a new car entirely online with Nissan at Home. Deliver direct from dealer to driveway. Thrill starts here. Services may vary at participating dealers, subject to applicable law. See dealer for details.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And that is it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy. So the weather's a little gnarly. So what? It's winter. You got to expect that.